Chapter 191. My train set had a little building that was two rooms with a corridor between them, and one was the ticket office where you bought the tickets, and one was a waiting room where you waited for the train. But the train station in Swindon wasn't like that. It was a tunnel and some stairs and a shop and a cafe and a waiting room. And it was like standing on a cliff in a really strong wind, because it made me feel giddy and sick, because there were lots of people walking into and out of the tunnel, and it was really echoey, and there was only one way to go, and that was down the tunnel, and it smelt of toilets and cigarettes. So I stood against the wall and held onto the edge of a sign that said, "Customers seeking access to car park, please use assistance phone opposite, right of the ticket office," to make sure that I didn't fall over and go into a crouch on the ground. And I wanted to go home, but I was frightened of going home. And I tried to make a plan of what I should do in my head, but there were too many things to look at and too many things to hear. So I put my hands over my ears to block out the noise and think. And I thought that I had to stay in the station to get on a train, and I had to sit down somewhere, and there was nowhere to sit down near the door of the station, so I had to walk down the tunnel. So I said to myself, in my head, not out loud, "I will walk down the tunnel, and there might be somewhere I can sit down, and then I can shut my eyes and I can think." And I walked down the tunnel, trying to concentrate on the sign at the end of the tunnel that said, "Warning, CCTV in operation." And it was like stepping off the cliff onto a tightrope. And eventually I got to the end of the tunnel, and there were some stairs, and I went up the stairs, and there were still lots of people, and I groaned, and there was a shop at the top of the stairs, and a room with chairs in, but there were too many people in the room with chairs in, so I walked past it. And there were signs saying, "Great Western," and "Cold beers and lagers," and "Caution, wet floor," and "Your 50p will keep a premature baby alive for 1.8 seconds, and "Transforming travel," and "Refreshingly different," and "It's delicious, it's creamy, and it's only £1.30 hot choc deluxe," and 0870-777-7676, and "The lemon tree," and "No smoking," and "Fine teas." And there were some little tables with chairs next to them, and no one was sitting at one of the tables, and it was in a corner. And I sat down on one of the chairs next to it, and I closed my eyes. And I put my hands in my pockets, and Toby climbed into my hand, and I gave him 2 pellets of rat food from my bag, and I gripped the Swiss Army knife in the other hand, and I groaned to cover up the noise, because I had taken my hands off my ears, but not so loud that other people would hear me groaning and come and talk to me. And then I tried to think about what I had to do, but I couldn't think because there were too many other things in my head. So I did a maths problem to make my head clearer. And the maths problem that I did was called Conway's Soldiers. And in Conway's Soldiers, you have a chessboard that continues infinitely in all directions, and every square below a horizontal line has a coloured tile on it. And you can move a coloured tile only if you can jump over a coloured tile, horizontally or vertically, but not diagonally, into an empty square 2 squares away. And when you move a coloured tile in this way, you have to remove the coloured tile that it jumped over. And you have to see how far you get the coloured tiles above the starting horizontal line. And I know what the answer is, because however you move the coloured tiles, you'll never get a coloured tile more than 4 squares above the starting horizontal line. But it is a good maths problem to do in your head when you don't want to think about something else, because you can make it as complicated as you need to fill your brain by making the board as big as you want and the moves as complicated as you want. And then I looked up and saw that there was a policeman standing in front of me, and he was saying, "Anyone at home?" But I didn't know what that meant. And then he said, "Are you all right, young man?" I looked at him, and I thought for a bit so that I'd answer the question correctly, and I said, "No." And he said, "You're looking a bit worse for wear." He had a gold ring on one of his fingers, and it had curly letters on it, but I couldn't see what the letters were. Then he said, "The lady at the cafe says you've been here for 2.5 hours, and when she tried talking to you, you were in a complete trance." Then he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "Christopher Boone." And he said, "Where do you live?" And I said, 36 Randolph Street. And I started feeling better, because I like policemen, and it was an easy question. And I wondered whether I should tell him that Father killed Wellington and whether he would arrest Father. And he said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I needed to sit down and be quiet and think." And he said, "OK, let's keep it simple. What are you doing at the railway station?" And I said, "I'm going to see Mother." And he said, "Mother?" And I said, "Yes, Mother." And he said, "When's your train?" And I said, "I don't know. She lives in London. I don't know when there's a train to London." And he said, "So you don't live with your mother?" And I said, "No, but I'm going to." And then he sat down next to me and said, "So where does your mother live?" And I said, "In London." And he said, "Yes, but where in London?" And I said, 451C Chapter Road, London, NW25NG. And he said, "Jesus, what's that?" And I looked down and I said, "That's my pet rat, Toby," because he was looking out of my pocket at the policeman. And the policeman said, "A pet rat?" And I said, "Yes, a pet rat. He's very clean and he hasn't got bubonic plague." And the policeman said, "Well, that's reassuring." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Have you got a ticket?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Have you got any money to get a ticket?" And I said, "No." And he said, "So how precisely were you going to get to London then?" And then I didn't know what to say, because I had Father's cash point card in my pocket, and it was illegal to steal things, but he was a policeman, so I had to tell the truth. So I said, "I have a cash point card," and I took it out of my pocket and showed it to him, and this was a white lie. But the policeman said, "Is this your card?" And then I thought he might arrest me, so I said, "No, it's Father's." And he said, "Father's?" And I said, "Yes, Father's." And he said, "Okay." But he said it really slowly, and he squeezed his nose between his thumb and his forefinger. And I said, "He told me the number," which was another white lie. And he said, "Why don't you and I take a stroll to the cash point machine, eh?" And I said, "You mustn't touch me." And he said, "Why would I want to touch you?" And I said, "I don't know." And he said, "Well, neither do I." And I said, "Because I got a caution for hitting a policeman, and I didn't mean to hurt him, and if I do it again, I'll get into even bigger trouble." And then he looked at me and he said, "You're serious, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You lead the way." And I said, "Where?" And he said, "Back by the ticket office." And he pointed with his thumb. And then we walked back through the tunnel. But it wasn't so frightening this time, because there was a policeman with me. And I put the cash point card into the machine like Father had let me do sometimes when we were shopping together. And it said, "Enter your personal number." And I typed in 3558 and pressed the enter button. And the machine said, "Please enter an amount." And there was a choice. £10, £20, £50, £100. Other amount, multiples of 10 only. And I asked the policeman, "How much does it cost to get a ticket for a train to London?" And he said, "About 20 quid. And I said, "Is that pounds?" And he said, "Christ alive!" And he laughed. But I didn't laugh, because I don't like people laughing at me, even if they are policemen. And he stopped laughing and he said, "Yep, it's £20. So I pressed 50, and 5 £10 notes came out of the machine and a receipt, and I put the notes and the receipt and the card into my pocket. And the policeman said, "Well, I guess I shouldn't keep you chatting any longer." And I said, "Where do I get a ticket for the train from? Because if you're lost and you need directions, you can ask a policeman." And he said, "You are a prize specimen, aren't you?" And I said, "Where do I get a ticket for the train from?" Because he hadn't answered my question. And he said, "In there." And he pointed. And there was a big room with a glass window on the other side of the train station door. And then he said, "Now, are you sure you know what you're doing?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going to London to live with my mother. And he said, has your mother got a telephone number? And I said, yes. And he said, and can you tell me what it is? And I said, yes. It's 0208-887-8907. And he said, and you'll ring her if you get into any trouble, okay? And I said, yes, because I knew you could ring people from phone boxes if you had money, and I had money now. And he said, good. And I walked into the ticket office, and I turned round, and I could see that the policeman was still watching me, so I felt safe. And there was a long desk at the other side of the big room, and a window on the desk, and there was a man standing in front of the window, and there was a man behind the window, and I said to the man behind the window, I want to go to London. And the man in front of the window said, if you don't mind. And he turned round so that his back was towards me, and the man behind the window gave him a little bit of paper to sign, and he signed it and pushed it back under the window, and the man behind the window gave him a ticket. And then the man in front of the window looked at me and he said, what the fuck are you looking at? And then he walked away. And he had dreadlocks, which is what some black people have, but he was white. And dreadlocks is when you never wash your hair and it looks like old rope. And he had red trousers with stars on, and I kept my hand on my Swiss Army knife in case he touched me. And then there was no one else in front of the window, and I said to the man behind the window, I want to go to London. And I hadn't been frightened when I was with the policeman, but I turned round and I saw that he had gone now, and I was scared again. So I tried to pretend I was playing a game on my computer, and it was called Train to London, and it was like Myst or the 11th Hour, and you had to solve lots of different problems to get to the next level, and I could turn it off at any time. And the man said, single or return? And I said, what does single or return mean? And he said, do you want to go one way, or do you want to go and come back? And I said, I want to stay there when I get there. And he said, for how long? And I said, until I go to university. And he said, single then. And then he said, that will be £17. And I gave him the £50, and he gave me 30 back and said, don't you go throwing it away. And then he gave me a little yellow and orange ticket and £3 in coins, and I put it all in my pocket with my knife. And I didn't like the ticket being half yellow, but I had to keep it because it was my train ticket. And then he said, if you could move away from the counter. And I said, when is the train to London? And he looked at his watch and he said, platform one, 5 minutes. And I said, where is platform one? And he pointed and said, through the underpass and up the stairs, you'll see the signs. An underpass meant tunnel, because I could see where he was pointing, so I went out of the ticket office. But it wasn't like a computer game at all, because I was in the middle of it, and it was like all the signs were shouting in my head, and someone bumped into me as they walked past, and I made a noise like a dog barking to scare them off. And I pictured in my head a big red line across the floor, which started at my feet and went through the tunnel. And I started walking along the red line, saying, left, right, left, right, left, right. Because sometimes, when I'm frightened or angry, it helps if I do something that has a rhythm to it, like music or drumming, which is something Siobhan taught me to do. And I went up the stairs, and I saw a sign saying, platform one. And the arrow was pointing at a glass door, so I went through it. And someone bumped into me again with a suitcase, and I made another noise like a dog barking. And they said, watch where the hell you're going. But I pretended that they were just one of the guarding demons in Train to London. And there was a train. And I saw a man with a newspaper and a bag of golf clubs go up to one of the doors of the train and press a big button next to it. And the doors were electronic, and they slid open. And I liked that. And then the doors closed behind him. And then I looked at my watch, and 3 minutes had gone past since I was at the ticket office, which meant that the train would be going in 2 minutes. And then I went up to the door, and I pressed the big button, and the doors slid open, and I stepped through the doors. And I was on the train to London.